We're going to recite our statement of faith. But before we do that, I do want you to realize a few things about our statement of faith, because, you know, we constantly get new members and we say this, and I know Pastor has done this in the past, but I just wanted you to understand that it defines what we believe, why we believe it, and also how we live it out.
Amen.
All this ties into my message today on intentional transformation.
Yeah.
It's not just a statement we read, it's a standard that we live. So I want you to think about that today as we recite it. Y'all ready?
Amen.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I
can. I am a believer. I don't believe you. I am a believer. And not a doubter. I'm a doer. And not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm
enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that
faith comes by hearing, and hearing by
the Word of God.
And if you didn't recognize it, especially if, like I said, we got some new members, home, H-O-M-E, humble, obedient, mature, and enthusiastic. That's woven into our striving family. So our statement of faith is so important in our transformation.
Amen.
All right, my scripture from the day will be coming from 2 Corinthians 3:15. And it reads, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." You may be seated. Guys, my sermon today is on intentional transformation. And I don't know about you, but anytime I get up to speak or anytime I talk to someone, God first deals with me. And I stand before you, 54 years old, and have been through a lot of things. I can't remember a time that I didn't love God. Even as a little girl, my mom used to drop me off at church, and I'd go with my granny. Anybody go to church with their granny?
Amen.
Okay, see, church with your granny is a little different. She was a part of the Apostolic Church of God in Christ, and so that's the Kojic, and baby, they had some rules, right? I've always been that one to kind of stand out, so I always was like, well, why this rule and why that rule? But you don't question that when granny tell you to hush your mouth and sit there and be quiet. But I thank God that I would get up and go to church with granny, and then when I was ready to come home, my mom would come and get me. And so I thought about that as I started thinking about my intentional transformation. All right, so I want to start off with membership at a gym. How many of you guys have ever had a membership at a gym? Come on, give me hands up. Okay. We still got them? Okay. All right. So y'all see where I'm going, right? You got your shoes. You know, when you sign up for this membership, you get your shoes. If you like me, you get them outfits. You get motivated. And I started thinking about Planet Fitness. They got a whole new motto. It's a no commitment. Why did they even start there? Because at some point, back in the day when you would get a membership at Planet Fitness, it came with a commitment. And then if you try to shut the commitment off too soon, you still pay for it, right? So in order for them to keep people coming, they had to change their standard.
All right.
They had to say, no commitment. Just come when you feel like coming. Yeah. Come. We know that you committed to wanting to work out. We know you committed to want to do some things. But guess what? No commitment. And man, their membership grew. We got to think about how the world is viewing your intentional transformation. We always love the idea of transformation, but we don't always love the discipline that comes with it.
Amen.
Muscles don't grow by accident, y'all.
Amen.
They grow through resistance. And when we think about the spiritual growth, it's the same. God will put you under pressure so that you can build your strength.
Amen.
Intentional transformation. See, we want the revelation without the reps. We want the promotion without the process. And we want the blessing without the burden. Now, I'm saying that as we, because we've all been there. Okay? Transformation doesn't happen by convenience. It happens by intentional Consistency. I just want y'all to take this little journey with me. I'm a teacher by heart. So a lot of it is not going to be the hype, but I need y'all to get this because God gave this to me, dealt with me with it, and I'm trying to give it to you. Amen. So in Romans 12, 2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. We've heard this before. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Which brings me to the people of Corinth, because my scripture is coming out of 2 Corinthians. So if y'all just give me a few seconds, I want to just talk about the people of Corinth. All right. And the fact that they had a difficult time in their transformation.
That's right.
Corinth was a port city. It was wealthy, it was worldly, it was wide open. It sat between two seas. So everyone from philosophers to soldiers to hustlers to influencers, they were all there. The city was booming with business and dripping with competition. It had status, and if you had status, you showed it off. If you had money, you flaunted it. In Corinth, they loved luxury, right? The rich sat in the front, the poor sat in the back, and everybody wanted to be seen. Some of that same spirit has crept into the church today.
Amen.
We shout louder for blessings than we do for brokenness. We love miracles, but skip the maturity. In Corinth, everybody wanted to be somebody. They bragged about even who baptized them. They was like, guess what? I follow Paul. I follow Cephas. I mean, they turned ministry into a popularity contest.
All right.
Today, we may not name drop apostles, but we do name drop churches and choirs and followers, and all the while serving the same God. We love. We all are willing to serve, but the God that we serve is the only one that can give us the increase. And that's the same thing Paul said. He says, guess what? He told him, he says, I planted, right? Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So we got to be very diligent in understanding what that means. We love to post about the platforms, but rarely do we talk about our posture before God. Now, when I talk about posture before God, I'm not talking about how straight your back is. I'm talking about how surrendered your heart is.
All right. That's good.
Amen. You can bow your head and still be proud in your spirit.
That's right.
You can lift your hands and still be hard in your heart.
All right.
God's not impressed by how high you lift your hands. He's moved by how low you bow your will. Corinth was known for its games. It was very, very competitive. And they always crowned one winner. And that same competitive spirit entered the congregation. And instead of collaborating, they were comparing. Now, we compete in committees, in conferences. Who sings better? Who dressed better? Who's in a circle? But church, hear me. Competition kills connection. When Paul wrote to Corinth, he wasn't writing to unbelievers. He was writing to the church that had power.
Amen.
But they needed progress.
Yeah.
These folks weren't sinners off the street. They were church members. They were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
They were baptized and gifted, speaking in tongues. Okay? They were doing all the things, running revivals, but they still were acting childish. They had charisma without character. They were talented, but touchy.
Yeah.
They were faithful, but fragile.
Yeah.
Their culture had started shaping the church instead of the church shaping the culture. Y'all better preach with me. Don't look at nobody now, but I want you to say this to your neighbor. Is she talking about us? Paul said, you're still worldly, mere infants in Christ. We got titles without temperance. Influence without integrity, followers without faithfulness, and talent without transformation.
All right.
We got saints who can sing but can't submit. Ushers who can wave but won't worship.
Right.
Leaders who will applaud, want all the applause but not the accountability.
Amen.
Church, I just want you to hear me. I know this ain't the best message because, I mean, sometimes we got to look at ourselves. But everybody wants to be seen, but nobody wants to be shaped. And God says, I'm not impressed by your position. I'm after your posture. Paul had to remind them, your glow means nothing if your growth is missing. He says, God's sorrow produces repentance. In other words, don't cry about it. Change behind it.
All right.
Church, say grow up,
grow up.
Before you glow up.
Now,
as I get into 2 Corinthians 13:5, there's three or four points I want to make in there. My first one is at the very beginning. He says, examine yourself.
Yes.
That's the word. Amen. Not your mama, not your spouse, not your neighbors. He wants you to examine
yourself.
In other words, pick up the mirror.
Uh-huh.
Before we can fix the world, we got to face the mirror.
That's right.
Let me say this, examine yourself. Y'all hear me? Because the hardest truth in this walk is this. Sometimes the battle isn't the devil, it's our decisions.
That's right, absolutely.
We blame demons for what discipline could fix. I want to say that one more again for those in the back. It says, because the hardest truth this walk is that sometimes the battle isn't the devil.
That's
right. It's our decisions.
Yes.
We blame demons for what discipline could fix.
That's good.
Yeah.
Going back to my analogy about the gym,
uh-huh.
When I found myself climbing in weight, that was me. I wasn't disciplined.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't going to the gym. I wasn't eating the things I needed to do. I wasn't doing, it was me. I can't say, Lord, if I get high blood pressure, you know that runs in my family, and the devil, he just trying to attack me. No.
All right.
Your decisions are attacking you. Your discipline is preventing you from getting what you need. I just want to talk to us today, and I'm talking to myself, but I just want us to have intentional transformation, church. Some of us have mastered the mirror of selfies, baby, because I could go online, and some of y'all got some selfies. You hear me? But what happened to the self-check?
All right.
We know all the angles, baby, but what about our attitudes?
Uh-huh.
We fix our outfit, but won't fix our outlook.
All right.
Pastor talked about this a few weeks ago, and it really stuck with me. He says, you can see your hands, you can see your feet, you can see your legs, but you can't see your face. You have to look in the mirror to do that, right? So in James 1, 23, 25, it says, if you hear the word but don't do it, you're like someone who looks in the mirror and walks away forgetting their face. Translation, that means if I can shout on Sunday and won't change on Monday, I looked, but I didn't learn. I think Ice Cube said it best, and some of my folks that are about my age know this. In 1993, he says, you better check yourself.
Uh-huh.
All right. Every morning, we check the mirror before we leave the house. We fix our hair, we straighten our clothes, we make sure we look right on the outside. But when was the last time you checked the mirror of your soul?
Amen.
Paul is saying, don't just look good, be good.
Right.
Don't just dress like a believer, live like one. God dealt with me with that maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. I've always thought of myself being a kind person. You know, I meet people, I smile, I do all those things. My mom always says, and she's watching, when I was born, she thought something happened to me because I came out smiling. The doctor kept smacking me on my butt, and I kept smiling, right? And so the whole room, on my birth, I shifted the atmosphere. And I had to realize that God did that in me. So then I said, God says, so stop telling people you kind.
Amen.
And just be kind.
Amen.
Stop saying that you kind on your job because you need the money, but you're not kind at home fixing your marriage.
Right.
Or monitoring your children.
Yeah.
Or that cousin who keeps getting into situations and keep asking you to bail them out. If you kind, be kind.
Amen.
And when I started to really live that thing, there was nothing I didn't get. Because God says, when you are about my business,
yes,
I will perfect those things that concern you.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I want you to examine yourself, because examine yourself doesn't mean criticize yourself. Let's just be clear about that. That's not what it means. It means confirming yourself. Paul says, do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless you fail the test? He said, check for the signs of life. Is there evidence of Christ's presence in your patience?
All right.
Because some of us, Christ ain't showing up in our patience.
All right.
You get in that car and head home, it starts right there. What about in your forgiveness? Some of us are walking around here 30, 40, 50 pounds of unforgiveness on our body. Because if we learn how to forgive, you'd be surprised how a lot of stuff starts shedding off.
Yeah.
We got to forgive.
Right.
Long suffering.
Uh-huh.
Check for that. What's the signs of long suffering?
Yeah.
What about in your faithfulness? Mm-hmm. But once you examine yourself, you discover the biggest battles aren't on the outside. They're on the inside.
Amen.
You'll find wounds that you just keep peeling the scab off of.
All right.
You'll find emotions that you just, this is who I am and this is how I feel.
Yes.
And impulses. Why are you up at 1 o'clock eating pistachio ice cream?
All right.
Somebody help me.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't deal with those emotions and those impulses and those attitudes, they'll deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why transformation starts with truth.
Amen.
You can't fix what you won't face.
All right.
If I never take inventory, I'll never see what's missing. That's why Paul says, examine yourself, because intentional transformation requires intentional inspection.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ask yourself right now, am I becoming more loving, more forgiving, more Christian-like?
All right.
Yes.
And if not, we don't want you to stand up and tell us. We just want you to pivot. Say a prayer. Pause for a second and say, God, I hear this message today. And I know because the same God who started it in you will sustain it through you.
Amen.
But only if you stay on the process.
Amen.
Church, say, grow up.
Before you glow up.
Now, the scripture continues. He talks about examining yourself, and then he moves on to testing yourself. And testing yourself is your growth requires, to test yourself, growth requires accountability. In order for me to see that I'm growing, I got to have some type of accountability. So he says, examine yourself with the mirror, but test yourself means the measuring stick. Testing yourself means putting your faith through quality control. Now, family, Paul says, test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The word test is not casual, it's quality control. Let me paint a picture for you. In the real world, anything that's valuable, a car, a bridge, a phone, even the food you eat goes through a testing phase before it's released to the public. Say it again. It goes through a testing phase. Who crossing a bridge that ain't been tested? And why do they test it? Because what's untested can't be trusted. You can't walk in power if you refuse to go through the process. Before a manufacturer puts their name on a product, they test it. They test the durability, the consistency, and the performance under pressure. And that's what God is doing with us. He allows seasons of testing not to break us, but to prove us. If your faith fails every time you talk about faith, if your faith fails every time life gets hard, it's not faith, it's fantasy. You'd have made up something. Testing reveals whether your worship works when life doesn't. Let me say that again. Testing, Lord Jesus. Testing reveals where your worship works when life doesn't. When you know you've been praying, when you know you've been fasting, when you know you've been giving God all you got and life still beating you over the head. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not because you're scared, but because you're in spiritual quality control. Every quality control product goes through a stress test. That's when they push it to his limits to see if it'll still perform.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That's why when you're under pressure, and if you're under pressure lately, it's not because you're weak, it's because you're worth testing.
Amen. Amen.
We gotta look at stuff differently.
Yes.
You can't pray for strength, but never lift any weight. You can't cry for elevation if you keep ducking evaluation. Growth requires accountability, and accountability ain't punishment, it's protection.
Yes.
When a product passes inspection, the manufacturer stamps it with a seal.
All
approved, certified, ready for release. That's what God wants to do in your life.
Amen.
He's preparing to stamp you with credibility, with consistency, and with character. But he won't put you on display until you pass the process. So stop asking for that new job if you ain't doing the one you're supposed to do. Stop asking for that new house if you spend more time on Shein and Instagram ordering stuff instead of saving your money. Okay, I'm gonna move on. I don't wanna get in nobody's business. It's one thing to look in the mirror, but it's another thing to measure what you see. Examination shows you the image. Mm-hmm. Testing reveals the impact.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Examination asks, what's wrong?
Uh-huh.
And testing says, what's working? Because
right.
If it ain't working,
uh-huh.
It's time for you to figure out what's the next test.
All right.
Even now, after a product is released, it goes through a regular checks, ongoing maintenance, they do like the calibration and quality assurance. That's what maturity looks like, continued reflection.
Uh-huh.
I want you to test your motives.
Yes,
Lord.
Because sometimes we go do things and we ain't testing our motives.
Amen.
Are we being selfish? Amen. Are we just wanting it for reasons and asking God for things that your motives are not right?
Yes.
Amen.
We need to test our mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to leave that right there.
Yes.
And test your mindset. Ask yourself, does this still align with the Christ in me?
Yes.
Testing isn't about guilt. It's about growth. Your test is proof that God is still working on the product. Testing means there's a standard. You don't test yourself against neighbors. You test yourself against Christ. There are too many believers out here grading themselves on a curve. I don't gossip as bad as I serve more than, but Paul says, check yourself against Christ.
That's right.
Because the measure of maturity isn't comparison, it's your Christ-like attitude.
Yes.
Now, y'all remember that story, a crowd gathered, ready to stone a woman caught in sin. And Jesus looked at them and said, you without sin. And one by one, they dropped them rocks and walked away. Jesus wasn't just protecting the woman, he was exposing the spirit.
Yes.
Because it's always easy to test somebody else's life when you ain't testing your own.
That's right.
All right.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:15, examine yourself, test yourself. Jesus said, you without sin, cast the first stone. See, the connection is this. Both of them are saying, before you throw shade, take inventory. Before you point your finger, check your posture.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Before you test someone else, test yourself against Christ.
Amen.
Because when I test myself against Christ, I realize I ain't perfect.
Amen.
I'm pursuing.
Amen.
I like that. I'm pursuing. I'm not flawless. I'm forgiven.
Yes.
I'm not finished. I'm under construction.
Amen.
So no, I can't throw stones. I need grace too.
Amen.
And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I'd be the one in the dirt waiting for mercy. But thank God for Jesus, the one who could have thrown a stone and chose instead to throw me a lifeline. Paul wasn't talking to individuals. He was talking to the whole church, y'all. Because when each believer tests themselves, the body strengthens itself.
Amen.
A tested church is a trusted church. A tested believer is a triumphant believer. So today, don't ask, Lord, bless me. Ask, Lord, test me. See if my faith still works under pressure. See if my love still stands when it's not returned. Because a tested faith is a trusted faith. And that's how transformation becomes real. So, church, let God test you. Let life test you. Let love test you. Because a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted.
That's right.
Say, grow up,
before you glow up.
Now, after he examined, after they tested, he says, recognize the Christ in you, the power within the process. Because he wants you to examine and he wants you to test, but there's power in this process. Paul says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?
That's right.
You're not empty. You're equipped. You got heaven's DNA inside of you.
That's right.
In Philippians 1:6, he says, who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Yes.
That means transformation isn't just becoming someone else. It's you becoming who God already designed you to be. So stop shrinking when you should be shining. Stop doubting when you should be developing.
All right.
The same God who began it in you will build it in you, will bless it in you, and around you, and broadcast it to everybody. But you got to stay the process. From self-examination to spiritual revelation. He says, you're not just checking for mistakes. You're checking for evidence. You're not just testing to find failure. You're testing to find faith. He says, because when you look deep enough, you'll realize in Romans 8, where it says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives where?
In you.
Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Stop looking for God out there. Start recognizing him right here.
Amen.
The power isn't just around you, it's within you.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. Everybody in here got cell phones. And when you retire for the night or when your cell phone starts to go dead, what do? You plug it up, right? And nobody likes a faulty plug, little switch. That one you got to tinker with and then you're like, dang, and then you got the wrong one because you got three of them, but this one not working. Man, when you go to plug your phone in, you want to hear that, nah, and the light come on, right? You feel good about that because you know it's doing what? Paul says, reconnect. Realize that the Christ in you is not a visitor. He's a resident. He's not renting space. He owns it. He doesn't just show up on Sunday. He stays through the struggle.
Amen?
The process has power because Christ is in it. Transformation is not perfection. It's about presence. You're not just changing on your own strength. Christ in you is doing the heavy lifting.
All right.
That's why sometimes some of the things that used to break you can't break you anymore.
All right.
Because the Christ in you gave you that bounce back power.
Amen.
That's why you can forgive because the Christ in you is greater than that hurt in you. Let me say that again, because some of y'all need to, I feel it, the unforgiveness out here. You got to learn to forgive, because the Christ in you is greater than that hurt in you.
Let it go.
That's why you can praise through pressure, because there's power within your process. You've got power to endure people, power to forgive. We got power to rebuild. We got power to become whatever God has designed us to be. But you got to believe that.
Yeah.
Paul says, do you realize? That means you could have power and not even recognize it. You could be anointed and still feeling average. Walking around here wondering how everybody else is getting it. You got it too. You could be chosen and still live like you chasing. Some of y'all. But the moment you recognize who's in you, everything shifts. When you recognize Christ in you, you stop reacting and start responding. You stop complaining and start commanding. You stop waiting for strength and start walking in it. And I want y'all to hear me this. When you know who's in you, you stop asking God to move the mountains and you start speaking to them. When I recognize Christ in me, I can love better. I can lead better. I forgive faster. I serve deeper. Because the Christ in me connects to the Christ in you. And that's how transformation becomes contagious. When you see somebody working and doing something and you standing there and they sweating and going on, it's something in you that connect with that, that makes you go and help them. That when you're in the church and stuff needs to happen, it's rarely you have to ask when we have a function. People just jump in and do what they have to do because they're transforming. And it's contagious. Lay your hand on yourself and say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
Say it like you mean it. Power is in me.
Peace is in me.
Purpose is in me.
And I got what it takes to transform.
Church, say, grow up,
before you glow up.
Now, I'm going to take just a little pause because I need it. God just kept, and I kept taking it out, putting it in, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. Now we're going to get real, because this one right here is for the grown saints. Y'all ready?
Amen.
You can't walk in intentional transformation if your emotions are still in control. We got too many believers who are gifted but grudgeful, that are anointed but easily offended, that are saved but snappy. Paul told the Ephesians, be humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. This means maturity isn't about how you praise, it's how you handle people.
Yes.
Proverbs 16:30 says, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city.
Yes.
Unity is not a vibe, y'all, it's a choice. You don't wait to feel it, you work to keep it. In Romans 14, it says, make every effort to do what leads to peace.
Yeah.
That means I can't shout about my sister on Sunday and shade her on Tuesday. And some of us, listen, need to stop praying to God to fix them and start asking him to mature me. Because maybe the real breakthrough ain't in them changing. It's in you growing. You can't claim his presence and still live like you have no peace. When Christ lives in you, he doesn't just save your soul. He centers your emotion. He teaches you how to be calm in conflict, how to forgive without forgetting a lesson, how to respond without reacting. Because when Christ is inside you, emotions become indicators and not dictators. You still feel it, but you don't feed it. You still get hurt, but you don't get hostile. You still have feelings, but your feelings don't have you. Transformation is emotional work. Don't let anybody lie to you. Growth will stretch you, it will test you, and sometimes shake you. But when you recognize the Christ in you, you remember that power is not based on how I feel, it's based on what is true. Your feelings may say, ooh, I'm tired. But your faith will say, keep going. Your emotions may say, I can't forgive them. And then the Christ in you says, but Christ forgave me. Your frustrations may want you to quit. But the power in you will say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't let a temporary feeling make a permanent decision for you. Christ in you gives you authority over your impulses. And in my 54 years, that's the one thing that I have learned, and I try to encourage those that are younger than me. Man, if you literally can understand that temporary feeling, don't let it make a permanent decision for you.
That's right.
I can't say that enough. Because Christ in you gives you the authority over those impulses. The fruit of the Spirit, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not just behavior. That's evidence of who's in you.
Amen.
When you know Christ is in you, you stop letting anger speak first.
Amen.
Let me say that again.
Because,
baby, when you know Christ is in you, you stop letting anger speak first. You stop letting jealousy drive. You right off that cliff.
Amen.
You stop letting the offenses sit in the front seat and tell you where to turn.
All right.
That's good. Come on now.
I told y'all this message wasn't going to be nice, but I promise you God has been dealing with me and I just have to share it with you. Self-control is not suppression, it's submission.
Amen.
You're not ignoring your emotions, you're inviting God to interpret them.
Amen.
You don't lash out, you lean in.
That's right.
Maybe I didn't hear you correctly. Okay? You don't blow up, you build up. Because maybe something was happening with them that made them do that. Because you know you hadn't done wrong, so let me build them up. What's going on? You don't panic, you pray. Because that's the first thing. Let the lights go out. Let this happen. The first thing we want to do is panic. Okay, and then trying to call everybody. Take a second and pray. Because Christ in you keeps you calm even when life is chaotic. That's why Paul says test yourself, because life will test your emotions before it tests your achievements. Every test that touches your emotions is like a classroom for your growth. Anger teaches patience. Rejection strengthens your resilience. Conflict teaches compassion. And the Christ in you will help you pass the emotional tests and give you grace. Church, say grow up before you glow up. All right, I'm coming to the end. The last little part is don't fail the test. Intentional work produces real change. Hebrew 5 says, by now, you ought to be teachers, but
right.
You still need milk instead of solid food.
That's right.
Translation, you've been in this church too long to still be crying over every correction.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead. That means you can't glow up if you won't grow up. The test is not there to break you. It's to build you.
Right.
Paul says, examine yourself. Test yourself unless you fail the test. Now, let's be clear. God doesn't test you to fail you. He tests you to form you.
Absolutely.
If you're being tested, it means you're being trusted.
Yes. Amen.
That's hard to understand.
Amen.
Every test in your life is an opportunity for you to show growth is working.
Amen.
That forgiveness you've been praying for, it'll get tested.
Amen.
That patience you've been claiming, it'll get tested.
Amen.
That faith you've been around here preaching, God has just been, it'll get tested.
Amen.
Don't run from the test, respond to it.
Amen.
Don't resent the test,
Amen.
Reveal God through it.
Amen.
I tell my kids when I was teaching, fail forward. And they're like, what? I was like, fail forward. Because guess what? There's going to be some times in your life where you're not going to get it right. But don't go back. Fail forward.
Amen.
When Paul says, don't fail the test, he wasn't talking about perfection. He was talking about progress. You fail the test when you stop growing. You fail the test when you stop trying. You fail the test when you let your emotions overrule the assignment.
Yeah.
But when you fall and get back up, that's passing. When you learn from your hurt, that's passing. When you respond with grace instead of grudges, that's passing. When you keep showing up for God, that's passing. Failure is only final if you stop taking the test. Intentional work produces real change. Transformation isn't magic, it's maintenance. It takes work, it takes time, it takes consistency. So don't just change or ask for change or won't change. Work for it.
Amen.
Don't just pray for peace. Practice it.
Amen.
Don't just claim growth. Cultivate it. Because intentional work produces real change. It's not what you do once. It's what you repeat with purpose.
Yes.
Change comes when you stop reacting and start rehearsing
Amen.
Righteousness. When you practice in private, whatever you practice in private determines your power in public.
All right.
If you want to pass the test, keep your eyes on Christ, not on comparison. Comparison kill it every time.
Amen.
Keep your spirit teachable,
yes.
not touchy.
Yes.
Keep your emotions surrendered, not scattered.
Uh-huh.
Keep your heart clean, not cold.
Amen.
And keep your work consistent,
yes.
not convenient. Because transformation doesn't happen by accident. It happens with intentional action. When you pass the test, God will promote you to your purpose. When you pass the test, peace becomes your posture. When you pass your test, unity becomes your testimony. When you pass your test, you become proof that intentional transformation works. Because when I grow, we grow. When I'm transformed, we get strengthened. When I pass the test, the church passes its assignment.
Absolutely.
The testimony, the test may be temporary, but the transformation is internal.
Yes,
it is. So don't fail the test, church.
Don't fail
by giving up too soon.
Amen.
Don't fail by staying stuck in offenses.
Yes.
Don't fail by letting your emotions undo what God is trying to build in you.
Amen.
Because Christ in you means you've got what it takes to win.
Yes.
You're not too weak. You're being strengthened.
Yeah.
You're not too broken. You're being rebuilt.
Yeah. Amen.
You're not being punished. You're being prepared.
Yeah.
The same God who started it in you will sustain it through you.
All
right. Lift your hands for me. We're going to make a declaration today. Say, I will not fail the test.
I will not fail the test.
I will not faint in the fire.
I will not faint in the fire.
I will not quit in the process.
I will not quit in the process.
I will examine myself. Test myself, manage myself, and recognize Christ in myself. Because intentional work produces real change. Church, this is not the season to fold. It's the season to finish. The test is the teacher. The process is the proof. And the power is in you. So do the work. Stay in the process. Watch God turn your testing into a testimony.
Yes.
Transformation takes intentional effort. It takes prayer. It takes reflection. It takes repentance. It takes consistency. Church, say, grow up, before you glow up. I'm going to leave you with this. Paul says, I press towards the mark. That means growth ain't a moment. It's a movement. You don't mature overnight. You grow daily.
Amen.
Transformation takes time and tears and trust and truth. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But being new doesn't mean being done.
All right.
So stop comparing your chapter 3 to somebody else's chapter 10.
Amen.
Church, you're still under construction. But thank God that you're not condemned.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right.